It is June 9th, and you're listening to The Uprise Daily. This is a collective effort from activists across the country to give day-by-day updates of protests happening in the wake of the police murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Our work is by no means comprehensive. With that said, here's what happened yesterday, Monday, June 8th. In Little Rock, Arkansas, the mayor and police chief introduced a plan to rewrite policies requiring officers to report witnessing other officers' use of excessive force. A third-party committee has been assembled to review police policy and investigate police brutality. Newspapers are reporting that the protests have stopped, but protests are planned for today at City Hall and the Capitol. In Phoenix, Arizona, people gathered for the 12th straight day of protests, specifically calling on Governor Ducey to take down a Confederate monument in downtown Phoenix. In Los Angeles, California, thousands gathered across the county for the 13th straight day in a row. Protesters included clergy and members of the Public Defender's Office as a national day of action of public defenders. There are now daily protests taking place in at least the following areas of West Hollywood, Highland Park, Sherman Oaks, South Pasadena, and downtown Los Angeles. The LA City budget hearing will be taking place over the next few days, and the motion to redirect $150 million from the police towards services for the Black community that was promised by Mayor Garcetti will not be introduced until at least June 15th. Black Lives Matter activists have been pushing for months to redirect the nearly 54% of the mayor's proposed budget allocated for LAPD towards social services such as housing and public health. The LAPD budget has grown nearly 60% over the last decade. In Oakland, California, hundreds attended a memorial march for Eric Salgado, who was shot and killed by California Highway Patrol officers on Sunday. In San Diego, California, in a 12-hour public hearing, City Council approved the 2021 budget that increases the police budget despite strong community opposition. In Washington, D.C., though smaller in size to the weekend's protests, people turned out for an 11th consecutive day out front of the White House. In St. Petersburg, Florida, in the second week of consecutive protests, 100 people marched through the historically Black South Side, followed by a larger march in the evening through the wealthy Old Northeast neighborhood. Following backlash for use of force against protesters last week, police presence has been low. In Atlanta, Georgia, for the 11th consecutive day, protesters demonstrated downtown. The governor has lifted the state of emergency order that had been implemented over the city for the last week and a half, and the National Guard has been deactivated. In Iowa City, Iowa, Black youth-led activists calling themselves the Iowa Freedom Riders returned to the graffitied steps of the old Capitol building to present an updated list of demands, including a call for the police to remove all military-grade equipment and contracts. They then took to the streets, marking the seventh day of protests in the city. Several hundred participated and confronted a police line on the highway. At least one organizer was arrested over the weekend. In Chicago, Illinois, bus and train operators held a press conference to speak out against the use of public transportation as police transport after over 100 Chicago cop cars were destroyed last week. They also spoke against the firing of a worker for his role in speaking out against such activities. From May 30th to June 7th, public transit was selectively shut down to disable protesters from marching in the city center, putting demonstrators and workers at greater risk of being kettled and arrested, and stranding legions of working-class people in the downtown loop. Many bus drivers have refused to drive the police charters and have suffered, quote, behavioral violations and loss of pay as a result. Marches continue throughout the city. In Indianapolis, Indiana, around 50 people gathered for an evening demonstration before a woman drove her van into the group, striking several members of the protest before driving off. In Fort Wayne, Indiana, it has been 11 straight days of protests. Protesters have reported an increased police presence with heavy SWAT vehicles parked across the street from demonstrations. In Louisville, Kentucky, protests continued for the 12th day. David McAddy's family spoke at Jefferson Square Park. McAddy was a beloved local barbecue restaurant owner who was murdered by police and National Guardsmen during a protest on June 1st. In Lexington, Kentucky, protests have continued for the 11th straight day and night. Once again, barricades were set up outside the police department, but there were no signs of police officers. Protesters blocked traffic. In Baltimore, Maryland, over 100 people, many of them public defenders, marched around the city detention center and central booking as part of a national day of protests by public defenders. In Detroit, Michigan, a group of approximately 500 people gathered and marched through downtown. The group stopped at the site of the old Algiers Hotel, a significant monument from the 1967 rebellion, where three Black men were gunned down by police. At this site, elders of the community and movement, including activists and leaders from the 1967 rebellion, gave speeches thanking the crowd and encouraging them to keep the movement going. As of last night, the curfew in Detroit has been lifted. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, city council members confirmed their commitment to disband the Minneapolis Police Department. Meanwhile, activists on the ground are skeptical of how an official endorsement of police abolition co-opts the radical nature of the demand. At the repurposed Sheraton Hotel, volunteers felt overwhelmed by lack of room for guests and lack of de-escalation training. The owner of the hotel is currently threatening the inhabitants of the Sheraton with eviction. Currently, all local shelters are full and unable to house more people. Activists took over the hotel a week ago. In St. Louis, Missouri, 100 people gathered outside the police department after an officer was caught on camera hitting a man with an unmarked patrol car. Protesters included students, attorneys, and public defenders. In New York City, New York, thousands of protesters again took to the streets in dozens of decentralized marches, vigils, and actions. For the sixth night in a row, a vigil was held at Brooklyn's McCarran Park, where on Saturday night, thousands of protesters in a black-led street action had gathered and then marched to Council Speaker Cory Johnson's nearby residence, demanding an immediate defunding of the police. In the evening, a group of 300 or 400 protesters gathered for an emergency protest at the 88th Precinct in Brooklyn, responding to confirmed reports of ICE agents having been present at that precinct earlier in the week. Protesters held up several large mirrors against a line of cops, demanding, "Look at yourselves." One person was arrested for allegedly spitting at a cop. Several well-attended and decentralized marches occurred in all boroughs of New York, including one on roller skates. Around sunset, a 5,000-person-strong, leaderless group of cyclists took over the Manhattan Bridge. In Albany, New York, protests left the urban centers to take the movement to majority white middle-class suburbs. 2,000 people marched in Clifton Park and over 500 in Del Mar. Albany's mayor signed an executive order implementing some police reforms, but organizers say they fall far short of the movement's demands. In Portland, Oregon, Portland Police Chief Jamie Resch, a white woman, resigned on Monday, and Chuck Lovell, a black lieutenant and former school resource officer, accepted the job. For the 12th night, thousands gathered to march through the streets. The march went to the Alberta Arts District, a heavily gentrified, formerly black neighborhood, where the founder of the Portland Black Panther Party, Kent Ford, addressed the crowd. Downtown, a large crowd once again gathered outside the large fortified fence surrounding the Justice Center. Some protesters reported a pepper ball shot being used by the police. In Eugene, Oregon, protesters gathered at the Springfield City Hall to protest the city council's removing from the budget of a requirement for police to have body cameras. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the 10th consecutive night of protests, hundreds demonstrated on the streets while hundreds more gathered for a virtual community town hall to gather testimony on divestment from the Philadelphia Police Department and investment in black communities and public services. This came in anticipation of a city council budget hearing tonight. 14 of 17 city council members in the city promised that they would not support the mayor's proposed $14 million funding increase for the police. The letter from council members opened with, quote, "Philadelphia can't breathe. In the poorest big city in America, during a global health pandemic and a massive economic crisis, the people of our city are telling us that police reform cannot wait." In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, about 500 public school teachers marched to protest George Floyd's murder. The DA's office defied the mayor by dropping charges in 39 cases connected to recent protests, stating, quote, "Being charged criminally changes people's lives, which is why any criminal charges require proper supporting evidence. We do not have the evidence in these cases to suitably conduct a preliminary hearing." In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, state House representatives from Philadelphia were joined by other Democrats and refused to allow a voting session to go forward until the Republican-controlled House considered a host of proposed police reform bills. In Houston, Texas, hundreds of mourners lit the gathering darkness with candles and cell phones on the Jack Yates High School football field, where George Floyd was a star tight end on a team that played for the 1992 state championship. The vigil ended the day of his funeral. More than 6,000 people came to see him, lying in repose, dressed in a brown suit and blue tie, in a gold-colored casket, at the Fountain of Praise Church. In Salt Lake City, Utah, hundreds gathered for an evening march from the Capitol through downtown, where they took a knee and held a moment of silence. These daily gatherings are slated to continue and have seen little to no police violence. More than 100 public defenders, part of the Salt Lake Legal Defenders Association, joined protests at the Capitol and led the moment of silence. In Seattle, Washington, police boarded up the abandoned East Precinct after the previous night's street battle, where a young protester was hit in the chest by a police projectile, became unresponsive, and was revived by protest medics. She is now in critical condition. City council members hosted a public comment forum where community members admonished local police for brutality, excessive use of force, and war crimes. Several council members have joined the call for the mayor to resign. have threatened with articles of impeachment, the defunding of the police, and have promised to bring forth legislation to ban chemical agents and chokeholds. The nightly protest in front of the now abandoned police station is being called an autonomous zone. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 11 consecutive days of protests continued, with several more marches, including one preceded by an installation of street art in Sherman Park. The Sherman Park neighborhood was the locus of a Milwaukee uprising in 2016 over the police shooting of Savelle Smith. One of Monday's marches went to the home of an attorney in the northern suburb of Shorewood who spit on a black protest organizer during a march on Sunday. That is all we have for today. Stay tuned for updates tomorrow.